Theater of the Mind. Without going into too much personal detail, let's just say that this past year and a half has been pretty harsh on me in quite a few ways, especially these last few months. For example, I've spent an awful lot of time in hospitals, usually visiting a loved one, but also serving a week-long stint of my own as a patient. Death is pretty scary in the real world, but being gravely ill isn't necessarily a whole lot better. Even when you know you're not going to die, the prospect of being afflicted for a length of time, or even worse, permanently debilitated, is not exactly helpful to one's peace of mind. No one in their right mind enjoys being sick, and anyone who's not a sadistic piece of crap is going to feel uncomfortable seeing someone else sick as well. Whether it's out of concern for a loved one's welfare or the fear of catching someone else's illness, disease is just something that we all try to keep at a distance. Since mankind became self-aware, we've had a lot of explanations for diseases. Our ancestors often believed that various maladies were the doings of demons or evil spirits. Some primitive cultures, and for that matter even some relatively modern ones, still believe that to this day. When civilization started evolving beyond the tribal level and pagan beliefs started giving way to more theistic religions, sickness was often seen as a punishment from one or more gods. Believers in the occult sometimes attributed affliction to dark magic, perhaps conjured by some sorcerer on behalf of an enemy. And to some, ill health was a curse brought on by the wrath of the earth itself, perhaps in retaliation for some injury done to it or to one of its creatures. One way or another, sick people were often in the position of being shunned, long before the mechanics of contagion were known. If someone was sick, it's because someone or something had it in for them, and you didn't want to get involved and bring any of that down on yourself. Of course, once science brought forth the microscope and germ theory became accepted, people continued to fear the sick just for different reasons. You might not be afraid of getting tangled in someone's curse or pissing off the local warlock by interfering in his spell, but you certainly didn't want to get infected with someone else's virus or bacteria. And while some diseases were proven to be congenital or hereditary and not contagious, the afflicted were still often the target of distrust, isolation, and fear. Fear, of course, is the stuff of haunting, and while monsters and maniacs make up the bulk of the scares that haunters create, there's something to be said for reaching into the dark bag of human dread and tweaking the age-old fear of disease. In most haunts, we see villains and their victims, or what's left of them, and there's a pretty clear distinction that lets us know which ones to be afraid of. But if the theme or backstory of the haunt includes disease, especially a contagious one, even the sympathetic characters can be a source of fear. Hey, sorry, pal, it really sucks what's happening to you, and I feel sorry for you, but just stay the hell away from me, okay? So if we establish that sickness will be a part of a haunt story, either by the setting, a hospital for example, or by some story cues, we have to convey that some of the characters are sick. Many diseases don't show a lot of outward symptoms. Many of the deadliest maladies show no outward signs until a person's in the end stages. But in a haunt environment, there's a limited amount of time to convey information, and subtlety would be lost on the audience. So any character who is diseased in a haunt will tend to be sick as a dog and stand out immediately. The primary cues of illness in a haunt would of course be visual. You can't count on the backstory to fully put that point across because a lot of people don't pay attention to the backstory. First of all, a person who's sick will act sick and show signs of impairment. The classical presentation would be a person who's weak and unsteady, probably with a hunched or sagging posture, perhaps walking with a shuffling gait. The person would tend to be uncoordinated, bumping into walls and obstacles, unable to grip things or maintain balance. They might communicate directly with the audience, approaching and pleading for help with outstretched hands. They may act as if in a mental fog, unable to fully grasp their surroundings or find words to communicate properly. To go a step further, they could be delusional, mistaking the hauntgoers as family or medical personnel, or as characters in a hallucination. And of course, outright insane is always fun. Mental hospital haunts are an obvious example, but any scenario of grave illness could have a feverish victim completely breaking down and succumbing to madness. Any actors choosing to play the crazy card, however, should have a good idea of how they want to play it and be consistent, at least in front of the same audience members, lest they give the impression that they're ad-libbing and trying to come up with an act on the spot. And energy level should be a consideration, because going balls to the wall full-out raving lunatic can be a lot of fun, but it takes a lot out of you and it might be tough to maintain for an entire show night. While behavior is a very important aspect of showing a diseased character, the real fun comes with the character's physical appearance. Makeup and costume can be subtle if the actor prefers to let the acting put the point across, but it's hard to resist going hog wild with the actual physical presentation. Costume can be hospital gowns or scrubs, or include accessories like bandages or even IVs, but the real fun is in the makeup. Gory, disgusting, disturbing, deformed, there's a lot of directions that you can go. The starting point in planning visual design would be the nature of the disease itself, if that's part of the story and theme. Make the appearance fit the sickness. Is it a flu-like disease, like in Stephen King's The Stand? Then the infected would probably be pale or jaundiced, with hollow, shadowed eyes and cheekbones, and sweat-plastered hair. For a plague like the Black Death, the makeup would be similar, but with the addition of patches of bruising and ugly purple-black boils and carbuncles. A leprosy-type disease would show widespread open sores and patches of scaly dry rot. And an infestation by insects or some other nasty parasite would either show lots of well-defined swellings showing where the critters and their tunnels are under the skin, or show the aforementioned critters actually erupting out of the aforementioned skin, or nose, or ears, or mouth, or whatever. It's your infestation, you call the shots. Illnesses due to poisoning or chemical contamination can be fun, too. Massive chemical burns or melting flesh make for a good visceral gut punch. Remember the melting henchman from the toxic waste spill in RoboCop? There's also radioactive mutation that plays well in an alien invasion or industrial nightmare haunt. How about alien fungus? These are areas where your imagination and creativity can just run wild. And if you haven't really bothered to nail down a single specific disease, just think of all your favorite disturbing and gross-looking symptoms and go to town. Asymmetrical or random areas of swelling are a little tougher to pull off if you're not well-versed in prosthetic makeup, but if you can hack it, the effect is pretty disturbing. Pale white skin with prominent patterns of veins is always a good look. Look online for some anatomy charts of the circulatory system to get a good idea of the location of major vessels and the patterns of branching. Hair loss is a good sign of major sickness if you can work with a bald cap, or don't mind partially shaving your head. If you're a fan of the gross out, snot and vomit are pretty unmistakable indications that all is not well. Discolored teeth can also help complete the picture. Mehran and Ben Nye make some very cool liquid makeups that you can apply to your teeth. And if you can afford them, special effects contact lenses of bloodshot or jaundiced or whited out eyes can add that final professional finishing touch that really hammers the point home. Fear of disease is as real and widespread as the fear of death itself. We fear it because we fear all of the things that come with it. Debilitation, scarring, isolation, revulsion of others, these all play into our ancient fear of being cast out of the group and left to fend for ourselves. And, of course, the fear that the illness will follow to its natural conclusion and destination, the grave. And in the case of a contagion, the big picture of an outbreak leading to pandemic and mass extinction makes for a great apocalypse scenario. The end of the world does lend itself to all kinds of haunt settings. Disease can be as personal or as global as your imagination allows, so don't be afraid to let a little blight into your fright. Keep the ghost light burning. From the theater to the mind, I'm Revenant, and you're listening to Hauntcast.
I'm gone now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.